Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. There's not one person who's ever gone from cradle to grave that's gotten to an age where they got their wits about them that doesn't have God show up somewhere in that. And the Bible says that He has revealed to all people His eternal Godhead. He's revealed to them Himself in creation, in conscience, in the commandments. But even if you don't have the commandments, even the heathen understand a law that there is a true God. And so they're without excuse. Now, when God is knocking on the conscience of somebody far from the truth, then they need to see Him in you, okay? If you're there and God's turned their apple cart over, which I believe our country is seeing happen all around us, right now, we feel like the crisis of a quote-unquote pandemic is over, but it's not over. It's just gotten down to a simmer right now. They're constantly thinking of ways to get this back. This was all about control. We can see in the rearview mirror that that's true. And so what we're seeing now is that a lot of people don't see it, but we who understand it see it, and we know that the world is in for a bumpy ride. Okay, with all of this cash that's been printed in the past 2 years, with the digital crypto thing, with the economies of the world, with Russia on the move and China out there, and I could use those just to kind of get your mind on, yeah, it's kind of precarious. But what I'm saying to you is that Jesus is going to need to be showing up in people's lives. And when I say that, I want you to realize that God wants us to be what they see. Just like that gold shows back the smelters. No, God wants Him to see Jesus in you. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 15 and 16, it says, God wants you to be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation or world, among whom, listen, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain with you. Now, what I'm doing to you right now, as your pastor, is I'm telling you, this is what God wants from you. He wants the world to see you as the light. It's not about you just telling about Jesus. It's about you being a Christian, which is to be a Christ-like one. And so what I'm saying is, you look at this, you're seeing Him talk about the appearing of Jesus, the apocalypse, the unveiling. And when you walk in the room, guess what happens? He's being unveiled as much as you allow Him to be. He's being no longer hidden. You walk in as a purveyor of truth. He's not being stolen because the God of this world has blinded their eyes, but suddenly you walked in and you get a chance to give a good testimony. Now, this is not for nothing. This is what God wants to happen. The Bible says in Matthew 13:17, it says, verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, but they have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, but have not heard them. You realize, right, that we have something unique here. We have a complete salvation. It's absolutely awesome. Okay? They didn't know what they were doing. They were like walking in a ditch without even being able to see over the hedges. They didn't know everything they needed to know. They would get a word here and a word there. The passage before us says that the prophets have inquired to look into this salvation. This salvation that is filled with manifold grace. Look at it up here in verse 2. It says, you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood. He's writing unto these people, unto the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Grace be multiplied. If you take out peace in there, grace be multiplied to you. Why would He say multiplied? He doesn't usually say grace be unto you. No, this is a group. Because every one of us goes out and every one of us takes grace with us. And whatever you bring to the table with your gifts, your talents, your abilities, you take grace with you and you couch it in that. So He's saying, I'm seeing a whole group of my countrymen, Peter, the apostle, to the Jewish people. He's saying, you've been scattered. You're everywhere now. You're in Cappadocia, Bithynia, all these places. He says, you're at me and you've multiplied. Now listen, you and I need to realize we are the luminary. When you look at the passage that I quoted for you there in Philippians, a couple of things to derive from that. He says he wants you to be shining as lights in the world. The sense of that shining as lights means that you become a moon to his sun. You see, when I said about the gold, the smelter, that's a good illustration, but it's not what God's after in this passage. What God's after is that they will see light through you. And when it says holding forth the word of life, the word is epheko. It means to have upon you, to have upon you the word of life. Think about that. He's the word and he shines upon you. What does the devil want? He wants the Lord's face to be blotted out. He wants the people to be blinded, lest they see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. You remember when Moses came down from the mountain, he had the shine on him. God wants the shine on you. Now, I realize that you and I are used to having so much for so long, but it's getting real now. We need to get real about Christianity. We need to go back to biblical basics and we need to be a righteous people, not a compromised people, not an equivocating people, a people who reflect the values and heart of God to our world, because we're here for a reason. Otherwise, the rapture would have happened already. Now, he says that these prophets, they desired to look into this. And I just told you about the prophets. They desired to see what you see and hear what you hear. What were they desiring to hear about? Salvation. And what I'm saying to you is that even in Luke, it says that John the Baptist sent men to Jesus and said, are you the one we look for, or should we look for another? You remember, even he buckled in his knees. He didn't have much to go on. And so Jesus did a little bit of a roundabout in the midst of a crowd. And he healed somebody and he healed this. And he says, go tell John, these things are happening. And blessed are they that are not offended in me. You see, you and I don't have to be offended in God if we can get our minds around our Bible and hold or have upon ourselves the word of life. If we have that on us, we have words to go with it. It says that they desire to look into. You know, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. We've talked about this before, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And those prophets wanted to figure it out. They wanted to see it. And God did keep it close to the vest, as we say. But what you and I right now have is we have a Jesus who has let us know everything. He says, you used to be servants, now I call you friends and I let you know what I'm doing. A master doesn't let his servants know what he's doing, but I'm letting you know what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he says further, as my Father sent me, so send I you. This is not complicated. It wasn't rocket science. It wasn't calculus. Okay. He told us. The question is on the table. Have we been taking that seriously? It's not about spinning our wheels in the church, because spinning our wheels in the church doesn't bring more people out of the dark. We go to church to equip ourselves, fortify ourselves, challenge ourselves to go out there and be Christians. These people were scattered. We sang a song last week, Secretly Meeting. That is a song that has its moorings in many countries and may come to our own, where we have to meet secretly. You will go with a page of the Bible because they burnt the book, potentially. I personally don't think it's going to get that close to our skin because we're at the edge of the sword in the world's way. But it may. And that's just me. I mean, it could be tomorrow. Things are happening these days that none of us could have anticipated. So we're looking at crazy stuff happening with our economy, with what we would call the people that we're supposed to trust, whether it's our medical world or our political world or our local politician, whatever, even our school and our educators. This crazy stuff, crazy stuff. So he's talking to these guys about that they're scattered, but there's purpose, that there's grace potentially going to be multiplied now. And he's excited about that. The problem is when your boots on the ground and you're being scattered and you've lost stuff, you're not excited about it on the page. You have to think about that for a minute. So these guys wanted to know what they prophesied about when they prophesied about this grace that was going to be brought unto us. Verse 11 says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So what were they asking? You remember, of course, the passage we spoke on about 3 weeks ago, maybe four. We were talking out of the book of Daniel. And we saw Daniel, he was really kind of baffled by a prophecy he saw in chapter 8. And he was told it was sealed. But he comes back in chapter 10 and he begins fasting for 3 weeks in a partial fast, just saying, I'm not having any pleasantry until God gives me an answer. And so Jesus shows up and he gives him an answer. But in the end of his answer, he says, it's not for you. Okay, you're still not going to get this thing fully, because he says, but Lord, I heard what you said, but I don't get it. No, he was told at that point that, in fact, it was a sealed vision and that God had something set aside for you and for me. It was not for him. This is exactly what he said. He said in verse 9 of chapter 12 of Daniel, he said to Daniel, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. You see him searching and inquiring diligently, not just searching other passages, but inquiring in prayer. Dear God, give me an answer to what this means. He was told, go your way. The words are sealed till the time of the end. Listen to this. He says, go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and shall stand in your lot at the end of days. So he's got a lot and we've got a lot. And that's where we see Peter locking in. He says, listen, they inquired, but they were told they're not talking for themselves, but for somebody else's lot. You and I get the Isaiah 53 passage. Who hath believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was taken from judgment and justice. He was as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, and he was to be slaughtered. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace. All of these things were, they're reading this, they're speaking this, they're writing this, but they don't know how this can be. Because he's going to be praised by kings at the end of that chapter. How can that be? He was just crucified, which was, by the way, something they didn't do in the time of it writing. The Romans came up with that kind of murder, which was an awful way of execution. What I'm trying to show you is what they saw was they were on a mountaintop and they were looking down through time. And God says, see that, write about that. And they're writing about this cross and this terrible, bloody, awful thing. Face wound marred more than any man's, Isaiah 52 says. But then as they saw also glory crowned. They saw a king coming. And what there was is there were mountain peaks. And there were mountains. It looked like a linear, but it wasn't linear. It was all in one picture for them. And they were seeing mountain peak. And they said, how can this be? The sufferings and the glory. What? Never mind. Never mind, Isaiah. Never mind, Daniel. These are sealed up because when these people, you and me, get here, we're going to need this information. Why? Because we're going to come in face to face with evil on steroids. Everything that happened in chapter 11 of Daniel is nothing compared to what you and I are looking at coming this way. Fortunately, we're going to be raptured out of here when it gets really, really bad, because we're not appointed under wrath. And, you know, he says to the Philadelphian church, he says, I'll keep you from that tribulation that will come on all the world. And so we see no church mentioned in the tribulation. But when it really starts getting there, we're going to see the birth pangs. The Bible says you're not in the dark that day should overtake you. So basically what I'm trying to show you is it might get pretty dicey before it gets really bad. And when it gets really bad, the Bible says it's going to be so bad that it's never been this bad before, ever on the face of the earth. You and I are living with all of these birth pangs. We're seeing them everywhere. And we need to recognize what God wants to do is he wants us to take hold of our position here. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.